Good morning, everybody. Oh, isn't that great? The Word of God. Our message this morning is entitled, How to Be Happy and Blessed in Life, from Psalm 1. And we're going through the series on the book of Psalms beginning today. And obviously, we will not be going through all 150 of the Psalms. But this morning we are beginning this new series in the book of Psalms, and Psalm 1 invites you to be happy. How many want to be happy this morning? Amen? And it invites you to be happy. I like being happy. Do you? I really like being happy. I'm happy when I'm happy. And there are some things that make you happy. I'm happy when I get up early in the morning and I have a cup of coffee and I have perfect quietness. How many of you are like that? That makes me happy, you know? And I'm going to become a digital minimalist, okay? I'm leaning towards becoming a digital minimalist. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay? A digital minimalist. And so I really like those times when I'm happy, when I have perfect quietness. And or I like walking in the garden on the morning, or going for long walks, or riding my bike. Lately, I've been walking through the church this week. Not lately, just this week. And I would start there, and I would put my digital, not so minimalist, thing on to count my steps. And do you know how many, you know, you could get a good stride on in this church, go down that hall, through the fellowship hall, around, come through here, walk around there, boop, 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 and then start over. I'm happy when I do that. It's good exercise. I'm praying. You know how many times I prayed this week? I probably did 20,000 steps in this sanctuary. Linda did half because she wasn't feeling well, and all the whole time we were praying for everything that we went. We even prayed for people in that are not feeling well, that are in the washrooms when we pass by the washrooms, okay? We say, oh, Lord, if there's someone in this washroom not feeling well this morning, we pray for them. Made me happy, okay? Good friends, families, makes me happy. You? It's good. Most of all, Linda makes me happy. Linda makes me very happy. Did you notice that all the things that make me happy do not include stuff? Did you notice that? All the things that made me happy do not involve stuff. This does not make me happy. Okay? This here is a tool. It does not make me happy. My phone does not make me happy. How many of you could say that your phone makes you happy? It does not make you happy. It has been said that the search for happiness is one of the chief sources of unhappiness. Did you hear what I said? It has been said that the search for happiness is one of the chief sources of unhappiness. I meet a lot of unhappy people, even Christians. So what are we searching for? So let's turn in Psalms to Psalm number 1. And we will read it together, and we'll pull a few things out that you will be able to apply to your life, we will be able to apply to our life, and hopefully it'll change our lives. So are you ready? Verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff. The wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Amen? Now, you will notice in that verse it says blessed. And I want to look at the word blessed for a minute, because blessed is a word that not only begins this psalm, but if you're taking notes, it's in your handout, but the essence of what is promised to those who read and meditate on all the psalms. So blessed is often translated happy or fortunate. We are fortunate to be able to have the Word of God. Amen? And this psalm invites us to be happy. Happy. So what does it mean to be happy or blessed? What does it mean to be that? Well, this question is often asked, and I often hear people say, I just want to be happy. I just want to be happy. I said, well, what does that mean to you? I don't know. I just want to be happy. I said, well, you know, okay, but I just want to be happy, and there's this desire in us, there's this cry in us. So what does it mean? Does it mean peaceful? Does it mean, like, so what is it? Well, to be blessed or happy, however, is much more than a feeling. It's much more than a feeling. And so often, how many of you know that sometimes our feelings lie to us? Our feelings lie to us. And so it's much more than a feeling. Now hear this, okay? If you get anything out of this message today, get this, please. Happiness is a joyous position resulting from a right relationship with God. Now your circumstances may not go away because you love God. But what happens is the things that we dwell on, we should think about the joyous position we have resulting from a right relationship with God. That's different than circumstances. Relationship, circumstances. Circumstances, does that affect your relationship with this joyous relationship we have with God? Well, it shouldn't. It should help us draw closer. Help us draw closer. So when we make God our help, we will be blessed. Okay? We will be blessed. I didn't say that I'm going to write you a check. Okay? We will be blessed. Because we will understand the joyous position that we have in the presence of an almighty God. Right? And when the lights go on, and when you get that and it becomes revelation into your spirit, oh my goodness, you're unstoppable. Okay? So I don't know about you, but I have probably squandered precious time and resources in my life. Amen? How many of you could say agree with me on that? Just squandered precious time, precious resources. I'm so thankful I never really got us into crazy, crazy debt. But I like audio equipment. Don't you love music? What's your thing, you know? Anyways, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've even made some poor choices. Have you? I've made poor choices. And some choices that we make can often ruin our lives. It can ruin our lives, or our choices can ruin the lives of others around us. Amen? Ooh, I don't want to ever ruin someone's life. And all of this is all in searching for the treasure of happiness in all the wrong places. You know, I was driving the other day. I have a 2016 car, but I had an oil change a couple of weeks ago. And when I went in, the 2020 model, John and Pauline have the same car that I have, and theirs is a 2018, mine is a 2016, and just the extra little options that they have, and theirs 2 years difference, it's like, ooh, I kind of like that, Aylin, you know, and wow, and the 2020 model's coming out, and that's even going to have a little bit more, and it was just like, you know, it kind of got into me a little bit, and I'm thinking like, here, I have a 2016 car with 60,000 kilometers on it. Okay? Should I be thankful? Should I be thankful? Do I need a 2020 model? Okay? You see what happens is sometimes we look for our happiness in all the wrong places, don't we? Okay? We do. And we get caught. We get sucked into this, you know? So where can happiness be found? The simple yet powerful truth of God's word is that true happiness is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. It's one of His very special blessings to each of you this morning. It's a special blessing. To be blessed or to be happy is a gift from God to you. It's a special gift that He wants to deposit in each one of your lives, each one of your hearts, each one of your problems, each one of your situations this morning. It's a gift from God, happiness. We need to say thank you, God. We need to say thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you took that desire for that 2020 car away that I don't need. That just meant that I would have payments for another zillion years, right? Like we don't need it. So where can it be found? This wonderful gift is ours if we are rightly related to Him and if we walk in the obedience of His commands. Okay, so if we are rightly related to Him, okay, so like I said this morning when I put that song on, those people were rightly related to Him, and then what they did was they sought fame and fortune, and they moved away from their gospel roots, and they sang about songs that would be popular so people would make, they could make a paycheck and everything like this. And they came around to their roots. They had like this revelation moment, and when I put the song on, I started to cry. I'm thinking like, oh my goodness, how many people in the church, they started off with such strong roots, such a desire to walk with God. And then over time, what happens is all the desire for happiness and all the things of the world crept in and stuff. They still go through the motions. They still warm the same pew in the church. And they still do all the right things and everything like this. But there's nothing that captures their heart. They don't understand happiness. So they're seeking happiness in all the wrong places and all in the world all around us. And the wonderful gift is ours if we are rightly related to Him. And so what happens is, just like that song I put on, they went full circle and they became rightly related to Him again. And there's some of you that need to become rightly related to Him once again so that you could understand the blessings and you could walk, so that you could walk in the obedience of His commands, because what happens is it's not a command so that it'll hold you hostage. It's a command to set you free so that when you're walking in His commands, you could be thankful in heart. You could say, thank you for the gift of happiness. Thank you for the gift of being blessed. You want to know why? Because God enjoys blessing your life. Okay? But you must be blessable. Right? He enjoys blessing your life, but you must be blessable. Say that with me. Blessable. You must be blessable. So this psalm expresses the joy of obeying God. Amen? It's not a drag to obey God. And yet this, a lot of people, it's like, oh my goodness. You know what? I'm going to get my thing. Okay, check. Did devotions this morning. Check. Oh, okay. Personal prayer. Put on the armor of God. That's a good one. But you know what? Okay, I'm ready to take my stand against the powers of darkness. I pray this every single day. Check. Check. It's good. That's a good one. Okay. Oh, thank me frequently. Pops up on my thing every morning at 10 o'clock. Oh, okay, done. It's 10 o'clock. 11:45. Thank you, Lord. My daily prayer list. Look, did you know? Oh, I already did. It's long. It's more than that. It's more than that. Yes, it's a good thing to do that. It's more than that. But do you know what? When I pray for you, I meet God when I'm praying for you. And sometimes I stop praying for you and I just start thanking Him for making me happy that I'm praying for you. Isn't that good? This psalm expresses the joys of obeying God. It's a major pathway. The reason I started with this psalm is not because it's Psalm 1 of Psalm 150. The reason I picked this psalm is because it's a major pathway into the rest of the psalms. Before entering fully into the psalms, we must stop at the door of Psalm 1 and make a decision to walk in the Lord's ways. Right? This is a pathway into all of them. To delight in His Word. To meditate on His Word. Only then can you be glorious, blessed in the presence of the Lord. And this is how to be happy and blessed in life. Can you say amen and say thank you? Say thank you for letting me know that, Pastor. Now, repeat after me. Now, Pastor, I'm going to apply those things to my life. Can't hear you. No, I didn't say that. I said, now I'm going to apply those things to my life. I want you to be able to say that without being coached along to say that. So, who would not want to live in the realm of the blessed? Like, think about that. Now, that's a loaded question, okay, a rhetorical question. But who here would not want to live in the realm of the blessed? Like, is there anyone here that would say, I don't want to live in the realm of the blessed. Okay? Yet, many people do. Being blessed means joy. Anything wrong with that? Okay? Contentment, peace, satisfaction, fulfillment, protection, calmness, assurance, provision, yes, and prosperity. Blesses both inward and outward state. We enjoy this happiness in our spirits and also in our relationships with others. Okay? So we enjoy this happiness in our spirits and with our outward relationships with each other. Amen? Amen? That's happiness. That's being blessed. The blessing is a gift from God. And this gift is wonderful, but it's conditionally received. Okay? God's not a Coke machine where we deposit. How much are those machines now? The last time I ever had a pop, I think it was like, I don't know, 50 cents or something you put in. How much is a pop now? $4 or something? Hey, $2? Okay, so you put $2 in the thing and out pops whatever you want God to do for you. Okay, that's not the way it works. This gift is conditionally received. This blessing is a result of some action that is on our part. How many of you know there always needs to be some action on our part, right? If I give you something and you don't even say thank you, your action would have been to say thank you. Amen? So there's always action on our part. So the word walk in the scripture here, that's used here, it applies to our behavior in daily life. Walk in step, stand and sit. This means having discernment, avoiding the steps that lead to sin, considering sin, walking, contemplating sin, standing, being comfortable in sin, sitting. So watch that first step, folks. Watch that first step. Sinners in this verse refers to those who are guilty before God because they disobey God. God doesn't judge people based on race or sex or national origin. He judges people on the basis of their faith in Him and their response to His revealed will. And so whether we're here and we feel that we're safe because we're Christians or something, but if he is revealing his will to us and we are in this stage of ignoring that will, we will be judged for that, just like the unbeliever will be judged for that. He is revealing his will to us constantly, and we have to walk in that. You see, folks, because superficial happiness without spiritual holiness is one of hell's exports. Did you hear what I said? Okay? I didn't say that. John Blanchard said that. It says, let me repeat that. Superficial happiness, how many of you have walked in superficial happiness in your life? Okay, so superficial happiness without spiritual holiness is one of hell's exports. So when you're walking in superficial happiness, when you already know the way, what you're doing is you're giving license to hell to have its finger and its hand on you, just guide you here. Okay, the only one who's allowed to direct my path is God, not the devil. Amen? So Psalm 1 and 2 says, delight in the Lord in the law of the Lord. Meditate on it day and night. A delight is something that we desire and enjoy. Amen? Do we desire a delight? So here it speaks of an emotional involvement with God's word. That's what a delight is here. You see, blessings involve delight. The word guides your walk and rejoices your heart. Amen? So, meditation. I don't get into a lot of these kind of conversations, okay? Like, well, what does it mean to meditate? And, like, all I know is that, you know what, it says meditate here, so I'm going to meditate. Okay? Meditate here means, okay? Meditation to your inner person is what digestion is to your body. Okay, did you hear me? Okay, meditation to your inner person is what digestion is to your body. How many of you have experienced indigestion this week? How many of you have experienced spiritual indigestion this week? Okay. To meditate on the scripture means to be filled with it. To be filled with it. We don't empty ourselves of anything when we meditate. What we do is we fill ourselves with it. The scripture, everything about happiness and blessed and all of these things, it's God downloading right into your very, very existence. So scripture is central to all worship. Amen? God has revealed himself, his glorious plan of salvation and his will to everyone in his inspired word. And when we delight in that word, we truly enter into his presence. Okay? So it's not an obligation to go through the scriptures because we have to get it done. What we're doing is, what we want to do is we want to delight in his word so that we could be in his presence. And that's what the scripture says. It's always about being in his presence. How you doing there, buddy? And so we meditate on his word so we could fully understand the ways of God and the worship and his worship in truth. Don't worry about his family church. So how many of you know this to be true? Many voices contend for our attention as we journey through life. Amen? How many of you know that? There's many voices that contend for your attention as we journey through life. Our friends and associates can have a profound influence on us. And true friends should help us draw closer to God, not hinder. Verse 3 says this. It says, the fruit of the belief. God commands us to bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. He commands us to bear fruit for the kingdom. He commands us to. He has chosen us for this very purpose, that we should go and bring forth fruit. What does that mean? Well, how does that mean? How does that get activated? Well, the only way he's going to get activated if you spend time in the presence of God so that he will activate it in your spirit. But if you don't spend time in the presence of God, it will never be activated in your life. And what you do is you become a taker. Feed me, feed me, feed me. I like this, I don't like this. But when it's activated in your heart, all of a sudden the discernment comes. And all of a sudden it's like a first-time person comes in here and I go and I say hi. And already you have their phone number and already you're reaching out to them. You're bearing fruit. That's fruit bearing. That's awesome. Amen? I love it. The truth sets you free. You know when I prepare this message, my delivery never looks like this. I don't know what my delivery is going to be like. But man, I'm pumped. I believe what I'm saying this morning. Okay? I want to see the body of Christ activated. Okay? I don't want to see the body of Christ asleep. I want to see the body of Christ activated. I want to see the body of Christ bearing fruit. Okay? I want to see the body of Christ making a difference in people's lives as opposed to allowing those systems that we should walk away from to make a difference in our lives for the negative. The truth sets us free. God's truth never restricts you. You know that? It always sets you free. Are you discouraged? Is there a sense of bondage in a particular area in your life? A lack of victory over a certain sin? A harmful addiction? Is it possible that you do not yet know the truth about God, that He can release you this morning? Instead of continually going through these cycles of hostage and things like this, it is possible that we do not fully understand that yet. And if we feel powerless to meet the challenges before us, take encouragement from some of the promises in Philippians right here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. That's Philippians 4 and 13. Everyone should have that highlighted in their Bible. I dare you to just get write it on your hand and look at it every day. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How do I believe that? Because I'm in the Word. And it's a promise in the Word. Okay, so it's a nice word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nice word. Okay? But all of a sudden a crisis comes. And then all of a sudden I'm taken out. Nah, not when I get that's in my spirit. Not when that's in my spirit. I can do all things through Christ. I walk in the authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He saved us on the cross. And as a result of that, we now walk in authority. We walk in authority. We say, no! Away from my family. Away from my home. Away from my children. Get away from me. Addiction, you have no place in my brain. You have no place Lord, the Holy Spirit's rewiring my brain. The devil doesn't have a place of rewiring in my brain. If you feel powerless, if you feel defeated by circumstances, hold on to the truth of Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that God can work your most difficult situation into His good. Amen? How many of you have had difficult situations, okay? You just don't know. And all of a sudden you've turned to God and all of a sudden He's turned it around for good. Don't forget that. Okay? Don't forget that. Why is it we allow it to happen once and then we forget it? And we go through all of this. We go through all of this again. If you are enslaved to a sin, 1 John 1 and 9 tells us that if you confess your sin, God is faithful to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. Okay? We all sin. It's what we do with it. It's what we do with it. Folks, I could sin. I could sin. You could sin. But we have these promises here. It says God is faithful to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. Now what I need to do is allow this to be activated so that what happens is I never get to the place that I sin. That I look at these scriptures and I say, before I get to that place, I say, thank you, God, that you are faithful to cleanse me from all unrighteousness before I step into it. Don't we want that? So all these truths await the Holy Spirit's implementation in your life. All of them. Are you allowing them to be implemented into your life? Okay? So it's one thing to know about the truth. It is yet another to experience the truth of God being worked out in your life. So God's truth will have no effect upon you unless you accept it and you believe it. So what truth about God would you like to be experiencing this morning in your life? What truth about God would you like? Ask Him to implement a truth that maybe you even heard today into your life. Just think about that now. Ask Him to implement something that has been said this morning into your life this morning. So will you this morning fully dedicate yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? As that song said, if you know Christ by now. Okay? You know the original words of that song? We're a love song. How many of you know that song? Okay. If you don't know me by now. It's a man speaking to a woman. If you don't know me by now. And then all of a sudden a revelation came. And it's like, if you don't know Christ by now, you will never, never. So, folks, if you don't know Christ by now, invite Him in. Because if His truth is having no effect on you, what will happen is, listen to Paul's plea in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. He says this, Paul. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This presentation of ourselves to Christ, laying all that we have at the altar of sacrifice, is what God wants for each of us. What an introduction to the book of Psalms. How many of you have read Psalm 1 many, many times? Okay, this is just a pathway into His goodness, into His glory. This is the key to a blessed life. And failure to love God's word is a symptom of a deeper spiritual sickness. Okay, it's up there. A lack of love for God. Okay? And when we truly love God, we cannot help but love His word. Amen? We cannot help. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself, His love, His plan for us. It is the very breathing out of the heart of God into our very lives. We must constantly evaluate how much time we spend in God's Word, especially in comparison to the amount of time we spend on other interests. Amen? So I was at my doctor last Monday, just to check out this little mark on my face. You know, if you have little marks or something like this, go get it checked out. Don't be resistant to that kind of stuff. Okay, and he told me, he shared a book with me, and it's called, what's it called? Digital Minimalism. And we are digitally too connected. And so I started to read through this book. It's pretty extreme, but I started to read through it. And so the thing was, we need to constantly evaluate how much time we spend in God's Word. Would everyone agree with that? Is that true? Okay, is that any new revelation? No. Especially in comparison to the amount of time we spend in other interests. Television. The internet. Oh my goodness. Do you realize how much time is spent on the internet? And how many addictions are coming as a result of it? Just come into our counseling office during the week and the ramifications of people spending the amount of time they spend on the internet. Okay? Addictions are being formed. All sorts of things. The internet is a good thing. However, monitor, I don't want to go negative, but monitor, continue to evaluate the amount of time that you're spending in God's Word. Sports, hobbies, entertaining, other readings that occupy more of the average believer's time than reading and studying God's Word. I feel like a pastor from the 1940s here preaching a word. Be careful of this, be careful of that. By now we should know that. But what happens is these little tricks of the devil, they just try to capture you, they capture your attention. Okay? Is it any wonder that there's so many believers that are so worldly, that are so spiritually weak, and so prone to falling into temptation when they spend so little time in God's Word? In God's Word. People come in my office and say, so when's the last time you read the Word? Well, I don't really read the Word, but I pray a lot. Oh, give me a break. You don't pray a lot. You pray when you're in the Word of God. What are you praying to then? I'm sitting in my office the other day. I start to read Psalm 2 because I'm not preaching from Psalm 2, but I started to read Psalm 2. And I didn't have any gadgets, no digital stuff. And I just had my Bible and was on my knee. My feet were on my desk. And I was reading it. And it started to speak to me. And I started to cry. I'm a big crybaby. And I started to cry. And Linda came into the office. I said, oh my goodness. God is so alive within His Word. Okay? And then that was the pathway into me starting to pray for other things. But I had to meet Him there. And I said, okay, Lord, now what do you want me to pray about? So I'm not just giving Him my checklist. Okay? It's like now I'm in partnership with Him. Okay, now I'm in friendship with Him. And I'm saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to pray about this morning? Oh, you want me to pray for Nicole? Okay, Lord, I'm praying for her right now. Thank you, Lord, for putting her on my heart right now. Yeah, I have a checklist that I pray for all my family and all over the country and everything like this. But when that the Lord deposits in your heart, amen? Neglecting God's Word indicates a heart problem. So if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I was talking in the beginning of the year. Now you'll know why I always talk about a lukewarm heart. I always go to Revelation to start off the year, and I've done it many, many times. And here, the first message in Psalms, I'm going back to that. Neglecting God's Word indicates a heart problem. So if you were to go to the doctor and he was to do your blood pressure and to do all of these things and he started to give you symptoms that maybe there's something wrong with your heart, you would be like, okay, I better do this, this, and this, and this. Well, spiritually, there's indicators also if there's a heart problem because of neglecting God's Word. And we have to be aware of that, and we need to walk in that. So when we establish a relationship with Him, He blesses us throughout life and promises to bless us throughout eternity. Amen? So I'm going to stop there this morning. So God is good. Amen? Did you like that word this morning on Psalm 1? That's good. You think I was a little bit passionate this morning? Let's stand together. God is good. God is good.